Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading there in just a minute. I'd like to preach on this subject this morning, through Christ. Through Christ. There are passages in the Bible, and we all are aware of some of them. If you're not, I want to share just a few today for sake of introduction. There are sometimes passages, verses that we tend to misuse. We tend to take out of it what we want to take out of it. We don't really read before or after, and we kind of gain our own conclusion. And what we do is we use Scripture sometimes to kind of justify or to somehow put approval on what we're doing. And so we'll take a passage and we'll apply it as if that applies. I'll illustrate this way. I always ask God, when I played sports and things, I always ask God to bless. I always ask God for a victory. And man, when I played basketball and soccer and all those things, you know, I would pray and ask God for a victory. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know that God really cares about football. I don't know that God really cares about basketball. I'm sure he probably doesn't. Now, he cares for those that are playing it, but he doesn't care. In fact, why would he care about something that takes so many people away from God's house and takes the priority away? But what we would often do is, you know, we'll quote a verse, and that's supposed to help us get the win that night, as if the other Christian guys in the other locker room aren't using the same verse, and now God has to choose, who do I love more? And we kind of take things and we use them wrong. And I want to give you a few instances of that before we deal with the passage that we're going to talk about today. And on the screens, I have these verses so you don't have to keep looking back and forth. But I want you to see one that things that I've heard over the years. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. And look at this verse. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You agree with that?
Amen.
Is the Lord good?
Amen.
Is he a stronghold in the day of trouble? And can you trust him?
Yes.
Absolutely. And you know, we take that verse and we think, man, isn't that just positive and wonderful? And you know, we have problems in our life. We have struggles and things that come. But you know what? God's a stronghold and he knows us. So I said, everything's going to be okay. Now, I want you to look at the very next verse in this passage. If you will, put that up there, if you will. And look at verse 8. It says, but with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof. And darkness shall pursue his enemies. Now we're talking about Nineveh here in a sense. And listen to what God says. He says, you know, I'm a stronghold in the day of trouble. Very next verse. But I'm wiping everybody out. Now, verse 7 is what we preachers call the Hallmark moment. Put that on a card. When's the last time you went to Hallmark and got a card and says, but God's going to wipe everybody out. And he will pursue his enemies and disintegrate them. Merry Christmas. You see, it's easy to say God's a stronghold in the day of trouble, but when you're rebelling against God, don't you expect his blessing, and don't you expect him all of a sudden, he's just going to make everything work out fine. Hey, if you're rebelling against God, we made our choice. Does that make sense? You see where I'm going with this? I want you to look at this next one, Romans 8, verse 28. We all know this one. I've preached on this many times. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And what do we always say? Hey, I know. Bible says all things work together for good. And we just want to take that and we want to put that on our little 3x5 and we want to live life that way. But what we fail to even see or understand is that things only work out together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. That means if I love God and I am trying to live for his purpose, then things will work out for good. But if you and I are trying to live our life for us, they're not necessarily going to work out so good. In fact, now look at verse 36 of the same chapter on this thought. He says this, and as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Do you understand what's going on here? We're saying all things work out together for good, and we think, well, that means, you know, that I lost my watch, and it's all going to work out together for good. And we can apply it however we want. But you know what the whole context of this passage was? Is that we are going to face persecution for the name of Christ. Notice the next one, if you would. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Love this one. "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Do you believe that verse? Whoa, you ought to believe all of them. Do you believe that verse? You're afraid to answer now, aren't you? You're like, "I don't know." So what do? Get our little card. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. God, I really need one of those new SUVs with all the options. So I'm asking and I'm claiming your word. I'm going to name it and claim it. Wow. Isn't that something? Look at verse 2 of this same chapter. "And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So what verse 9 is saying, that when you ask for God's will and you ask for the things that God wants, when you ask, it's going to be given. But if you ask for things that are contrary to God's will, don't expect it. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, one of my favorites. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." And you'll have some people that God just happened to bless miraculously, and unbeknownst to them, their children made some very wise decisions, and they've decided to serve God and be in church, and those very people will go tell everybody that have children that have gone wayward and have rebelled against God and aren't in church and don't serve God, and they'll go throw this verse at them. "Well, when you train them the way they should go, they will not rebel, they will not do those things, and you..." Well, I'm not going to say it. I thank God a filter right there. You are wrong. This verse doesn't mean that at all. It's taken completely out of context. Not from another verse in the chapter, but from the words that are in this verse. Do you understand that in the Hebrew, that end, that it, that two-letter word it at the end of the verse is describing something very different? Now you look at this verse, and I want to give you an English lesson, and I want to explain it to you. The subject of that verse is what? The way. Train is a verb. Train up a child in the way he should go. And everybody wants to say this, and when he is old. No. Look at me, parents. You and I should be teaching our children the way. Does that make sense? Notice the end of the verse. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. But in the Hebrew, what's interesting, that word it describes the verb, the first word in the verse, the training. That means this: if you train up a child in the way they should go, they might depart from it, they might go a different way, they might rebel, but they will never be able to depart from the training. It's in their mind the rest of their life. You don't know how many people I have talked to that are making a mess of life and say, "Well, my mom years ago, man, they read the Bible, they did this, they taught me, but I've just made decisions." And dear friend, I've seen so many parents get so burdened and discouraged because they think it's their fault. They think this verse means they didn't do their job. And you know what? None of us do our job 100% perfect. But can I tell you, I've seen individuals that serve God, that live for God, that came out of drunkards' homes, like my very own mother, and I've seen kids grow up in the best Christian's home that I've ever seen, and they'll rebel against God. But I'm here to tell you, parent, if you do your job, they'll never get that training out of their mind. But we love to take passages and make it say what we want. I want you to look at your passage this morning, Philippians chapter 4. Once you look at verse 11, these verses are up here if you need them. Look at let me look at verse 13. He followed me. Great. Go back because I skipped. I want you to see this is our key verse. I can do all things through Christ. which strengtheneth me. And boy, this is overused. And it's used wrong. Now, if you will, now if you'll pull up verse 11, I want you to see the context of this. Not that I speak in respect of want, Paul says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Isn't that interesting? He uses the word affliction. Now, how we want to take verse 13 is that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I want to accomplish such and such. So I can do it through Christ. Do you know what's interesting? Paul is not talking about any kind of achievement here. That word do means literally something very different. It doesn't mean a performance. It means an endurance. What Paul is saying is this: I can endure all things through Christ, which gives me strength. This verse wasn't telling Paul, hey, whatever you want to do, you do it and God's going to give you strength. This verse was saying, Paul, what you're going through right now, God will give you the strength to endure it. Can I tell you, sometimes in your life, you can't achieve anything. Sometimes in our life, what we got to do for God is just endure it and stay faithful. You say, preacher, what in the world do you mean? Well, I want you to see this screen. Look at chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 7. Notice this. This is what Paul says. Both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. It's on the screen if you don't feel like turning. Notice that. In my bonds. Look at verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Look at verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. Look at verse 16. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Look at me. Where was Paul when he wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? He was in jail. Can I tell you one thing he couldn't do? He couldn't get out of that cell. Now, if God would have wanted him to, he could have. But when Paul said, I can do all things, well, no, not really. He's locked up. Let me tell you something Paul couldn't do. He couldn't go home. Let me tell you something Paul couldn't do. He couldn't go get a steak dinner at a restaurant. You see, we take it to think, well, hey, whatever I want to do, God's going to give me the strength to do it. Dear friend, Paul wasn't doing anything. He was sitting in jail. He was in the middle of affliction. All through the entire book, he talks about his bonds and his and being in prison and being in jail. I don't know about you, that doesn't sound like real victory. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Guard, can I have some water? May I say this, dear friend, I want to encourage you today. Do you know sometimes in your life, the things you go through, you don't have to achieve anything. You just need to endure it through the strength of God. Can I tell you something? We have some people sitting right here in the service that I'm going to tell you something. They can do all things through Christ, but one thing they can't get is a clean bill of health. We have some people sitting right here in the service. We could say, hey, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But they probably aren't going to make it to the car without their walker or their wheelchair. You all hear me? Do you know sometimes we end up in jail? Sometimes we end up in situations that we don't like. And sometimes we are restricted. Sometimes we can't do everything we want. Some people would love just to get up out of bed, go spend the day, and go do something fun. But you know what? They're bedridden and they're stuck in a place and they have health issues. And dear friend, if we're not confused, we're going to think that our life should be nothing but us achieving thing after thing. Can I tell? Listen to me. Some of us need to realize that sometimes in life, you can't go do a whole bunch of things. Sometimes in life, God puts you in a situation where all you can do is stay right there and endure it through God's strength. We have people sitting right here in the building don't have a job. They've been looking and looking and trying. We have people sitting right here who own their own business and things are lean and rough and, man, they've been working hours and can't make. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things they would love to do, but that doesn't mean they just get to do it. Through God's strength. Do you know what sometimes what we need? We need God's strength just to make it to tomorrow morning. Now, I want you to look at this passage, and I want you to see some things here that I think is interesting. And if you'll notice verse 29 of chapter 1, I want you to see these verses. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Did you hear that? Paul said, hey, I can do all things through Christ. But he says sometimes God, his will for our life might be to suffer. Look, if you would, at chapter 3, verse 8. Look at this verse up here on the screen, or on your screen, obviously. Don't look at that one. You'll break your neck. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." Wait a minute, we look at that, hey, I can do all things through Christ. Boy, that sounds like when we get it all, everything we name and claim, God brings it. I mean, this prosperity gospel, everything's wonderful. Paul said, hey, for Christ, I've lost everything. I can do all things for Christ, except I don't have anything. It's all gone. Let me ask you something. How would you like for me to, you know, pull up right next to Job? Just found out all 10 of his children are dead. Found out he's got nothing left in life. Sick as a dog, boils all over his body. Hey, Job, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Guess what's going to happen tomorrow? He's going to be laying right there. Guess what's going to be happening the day after that? And the day after that, he's going to be laying right there. You and I need to understand sometimes, listen, I can do all things. You got to understand, whatever comes in your life, you can get through it. Through God's strength. You can overcome it. You can stay faithful through it. And you and I need to understand, we can't handle some things that come into our life through our strength. The only way is for us to depend on God. And I want you to notice these verses. I want to give you some things. I'll let you go this morning. I want you to notice, if you would, first, verse 11. Look what Paul said. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Number one this morning, get this. Write it down. Through Christ, I can be content even when things are difficult. Do you know sometimes that's our gift to God? Is just to be content with what's happened. To just be content where God's put us. To just learn to be content. Content sounds a whole lot different than loving it. Can I tell you something? I don't know of a person that just got told they had cancer, came out of the office. Thank you, Lord. I have been dreaming of that. That's what I want. Been wanting it for years. Paul said, I can tell you one thing I can do through Christ. I might not be able to get out of jail right now, and I might not be able to have my freedom right now, but one thing I have learned is I can be content in whatever state I'm in. May I encourage you this morning? There might be some things in your life that aren't going to change by tonight, and they're not going to change by tomorrow, and you might still be in some rough situations and some circumstances that you wish were different. But can I tell you what you can do through God's strength? You can be content. Even when it's difficult. May I say, sometimes life's difficult. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes it's not what we want. Sometimes it's not what we wish. Sometimes it doesn't change overnight. Sometimes God doesn't fix it right away. But I can tell you this, through Christ's strength, we can be content. Even when it's difficult. Look what Paul said in verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. In other words, Paul says, this is what's come in my life. Abased, this word means humbled, humility, literally embarrassed. It means to be brought so low that it's humiliating. Number two, Paul says this, through Christ, I can be composed even when I'm discouraged. I can be content. I've learned whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Through God's strength, I can do that. And I'll tell you what else Paul says, through God's strength, I can be composed even when I'm discouraged. Can I tell you, when things happen in your life that get you down, I mean, you talk about abased. Paul was abased. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was physically. And he had excruciating pain, we believe, from his eyes. He asked God on a number of occasions if God would take it away and heal him of it. And God never did. Paul was sitting in jail. Paul was not married. He didn't have companionship. He didn't have a lot of things. But Paul said this, "I've learned, even when I'm discouraged, I can be composed. I know God can give me strength to not let that rip my life apart. Through God's strength, I'm going to be down and I'm going to be discouraged and it's going to be some things that I didn't want or like. But I've learned how to go through it. I've learned how to go through the ups and downs and not let it get victory over me." Notice thirdly, Paul says in verse 12, the second part, he says, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed," listen, "both to be full and to be hungry." Number three, "through Christ I can be confident even when I am in need." Paul said, "I've learned what it's like now to not even have food. I've had everything from my life ripped away that I didn't even have my next meal." And dear friend, rarely have any of us been there. And it's obvious I haven't. It's obvious some of you haven't either. Can I tell you something? We can say, "Oh, I have needs, preacher. I have..." Let me tell you, it's a whole different need when you lost everything and you don't even know where your next meal's coming from. Paul said, "I've been through that. But I tell you one thing I know. Even when I'm in need, I can be confident in Christ." That means I might not know where my next meal's coming from, but I've been through this before, and I've seen God's faithfulness. And although right now I can do all things through Christ, but that might not put food on my table right now. But I know this, even when I'm in need, even when I don't know how the needs are going to be met, I can be confident in Christ. Amen. You know, sometimes that's what you need God's strength for. To have these needs in your life and just stay confident in Him somehow, some way. That takes God's strength. We think God's strength, we need to go do these wonderful things. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, sometimes it just means taking what life has brought you through God's strength. Notice number four in verse 12. Listen to what he says here. He says, "I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." You say, "Well, you just talked about that he had needs." Oh, that word's different in the Greek. You look up the words that puts them both suffer. In other words, Paul's saying this, that sometimes my suffering has brought needs into my life. Sometimes Paul had been stoned. Paul had been beaten up. Paul had been ridiculed. Paul had been abused. And may I say this? This is what Paul says through this. I can do all things through Christ. Number four, he says, "Through Christ, I can be courageous even when I suffer." Hey, I can do all things through Christ, but can I tell you what? That didn't stop the stones from creaming him in the head. I can do all things through Christ didn't stop those towns from stoning him. I can do all things through Christ didn't stop them putting him in jail. You say, "Thank you for the encouragement this morning, preacher." This ought to be encouraging to you. Because you know, sometimes the stones still come. And sometimes the jail is still where we end up. And sometimes the difficulty still comes our way. But Paul says this, "Hey, even when I've suffered, I can be courageous through God's strength." Wow. May I tell you something? Sometimes it takes more strength to just keep your attitude and spirit right than it takes for you to accomplish all these wonderful, wonderful things and all these major achievements. May I tell you, sometimes we're going to get to heaven and find out who really achieved. You know, we have people right here. Can I tell you something? It was more of an accomplishment for them to just get out of bed and get to church today than it was for some of us to do some of the great things we think we've done. There are some people sitting right here that it would have been understood, and they've got every reason in the world to have just stayed home today. But they're here. Why? Because through Christ's strength, I might not be able to do what I did years ago, and I might not be able to do a lot of things, But I can do this. Through Christ, Paul says, I can be courageous even when I suffer. Some of you are suffering right now. Some of you are suffering in your life. And man, you're going through things. It's like, I don't know why this is like this. And I don't know why I'm the way I am. And I don't know all these things. And listen to me, you can still be courageous. Notice fourthly, look at verse 14 and 15. Paul says this after he said, I can do all things through Christ. Listen to what he says about it. He says, now ye Philippians know also, verse 15, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, this what Paul's saying here, the beginning of the gospel, he says, back when I first got saved, and remember, Paul's the one that had abused Christians and put them in jail and all these things, and all of a sudden now, Paul gets saved. We talked about this in our Iron Men's Men's thing. Now notice this, look at verse 15. He said, at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Number five, Paul said this, through Christ I can carry on even when I am mistreated. Can you imagine? Now let's just think about this. Paul, who had persecuted Christians on the road to Damascus, gets converted. And all these Christians that he had been doing all these bad things to, he becomes a believer. And guess what warm reception he got? They wouldn't have anything to do with him. In fact, it was almost 9 years between when Paul got saved and he was finally allowed to start ministering in the churches. Look at me. Paul said this. I can do all things through Christ. I can endure all things through Christ if I have to. If I have to go through all of it at once, Paul said, I don't know how I would make it, but I can make it through God's strength. And he said, I can be content when things are difficult. I can be composed when I'm discouraged. I can be confident even when I'm in need. I can be courageous even when I suffer. But can I tell you, one of the hardest things to do as a Christian is to carry on even when you are mistreated. From the very beginning, Paul was mistreated by Christians. Anybody else ridden on the same bus he was riding on? Anybody here ever been mistreated by a Christian? Do you know how many people aren't in church this morning because they felt they got mistreated by someone else in church? Paul said this, hey, you know sometimes in your life, so-and-so might say such-and-such, and so-and-so might do such-and-such, but my gift to God is to get up in the morning and get to church where God wants me. It doesn't matter if so-and-so's sitting across the way, and they said all these things, and they lied about me, and they did whatever. I'm not going to that church for people. I'm not serving God for their approval. If God told me to do something, I'm going to do it. And Paul says this, sometimes I might not be able to go out and do all these incredible things, but sometimes it means getting out of bed and serving God despite Christians that have mistreated you. And may I say, let me tell you something. Somebody's done something to you, said something about you, whatever the case might be. Through Christ, you can carry on. Through Christ, you can still walk through those back doors, sit here and worship God.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.